Welcome to NCFM Today, a podcast about family medicine in the Old North State. I'm Kevin Latour, Communications and Membership Manager at the NCAFP, and your host for today's episode. At the end of 2023, we were lucky to host the Winter Family Physicians Weekend at the Omni Grove Park Inn in Asheville. It's the largest event of our year, and the one we most look forward to. Our members reunite and learn together to celebrate their work and complete official NCAFP business. One of the biggest items of that business at the winter meeting is the induction of the new president. At the 2023 meeting, we were honored to induct Dr. Garrett Franklin as our new president. Today, we're glad to bring you his full induction speech for the new podcast episode. Here is NCAFP President Dr. Garrett Franklin speaking at the 2023 Winter Family Physicians Weekend.
All right. Thank you very much. It is truly an honor and absolutely a great pleasure to be here tonight. So thank you for having me. Thank you for your faith in me. Thank you for your faith in my ability to serve your academy as a upcoming president for this upcoming year. So thank you so much. I applaud you guys. There's such a long list of thank yous I have tonight. I can't thank all of you, but I'm going to try to thank some of you. Thank you to Shauna Guthrie and all the rest of the executive committee and board members. Thank you so much for all your help through the years and encouragement. There's a couple other people from the academy I have to thank, too. Wherever Greg Griggs is, please stand up. I heard that grunt. Greg Griggs. Thank you for your trust in me. Thank you for your confidence in my abilities. Thank you for molding me. Thank you for all those really long conversations at night. You know, Lindsay's really jealous of those, by the way. Sean Parker, where are you at, sir? I'm going to embarrass you, make you stand up. So, okay. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your counsel. Thank you for all the random phone calls I get to call you about random law questions. So I do appreciate that. And thank you for renewing my faith in lawyers. So thank you so much. The true MVPs of this meeting, Catherine, Perry, Kevin, and the rest of the crew, please stand up. Please applaud them. This is the true MVPs of this conference. Without this, none of this is possible. Please thank one of these folks. Please grab them, tell them how much you appreciate them. If it was not for all of them, we would not be here tonight. This conference has been so smooth, and it's just because of them. So please thank them if you see them individually. Please, please, please. So I brought my family here to embarrass them too. So I now get to call you guys out. So my dad would stand up. My dad drove all the way from Texas to be here, so. Thank you for motivating me all those years. Thank you for pushing me to always be better. Thank you for always setting a great example. And thank you for Dad's three rules. Do you remember Dad's three rules? Nope. Okay. So number one was no R-rated movies. Number two was no cereals with sugar in them or colors in them. Number three was go ask your mother. So thank you for those words of wisdom growing up. Mom, where are you at? You're going to stand up or no? No, okay. All right, I think she's maybe a little bashful. I don't know. No, okay, she's not bashful. All right. You know, thank you for giving me life and stuff, you know. Thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for your thoughtfulness. You're always very thoughtful. Thank you for pushing me to pursue medicine. If it wasn't for you, I don't think I'd be doing this. But also thank you for always reminding me not to forget my jacket. So, I did remember my jacket tonight, so thank you. Thank you. My sister Brianna. I finally get a chance to embarrass you in front of a large room of people. This has been coming for a good number of years. So thank you for always keeping me grounded. Thank you for always being there. And thank you for always starting all those fights, because you did that. There's so many other people. I'd be here all night, and Greg's told me I have a 15-minute limit, and he's giving me the look, so I'm going to try to move on. But I can't move on without at least acknowledging my kids, Isaac and Adeline, and unborn baby no name. I promise at some point we'll give you an actual name, but you know, we got till Tuesday, I guess, because that's when the C-section happens. You know, with medicine comes lots of risk, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Isaac and Adeline, thank you so much for being here. Yes, this is what I pulled you out of school for, so that's to answer your questions. You've already had your dessert, so you don't get any other desserts. Don't ask. And you guys are my pride and joy, and I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah, I'm crazy on it. You can sit down. All right, Lindsay, your turn. She's already got a lot of introductions tonight, but she's definitely the MVP of the family, and I think you guys already know why that is. But you are my wife. You are clearly the mother of my children, and clearly wouldn't do any second. Thank you for putting up with me in so many ways. But, you know, Lynn's my best friend. You're not my best friend, but you knew that. Okay, all right. Thank you for your sacrifices. Thank you for all those late nights. Thank you for the meetings. Thank you for all the travel I do. Thank you for my crazy schedule. Thank you for all things NC State. Thank you for this crazy journey through medicine. Thank you for being there. Thank you for putting off that C-section just a couple more days so we can actually be here. Please give her a bigger round of applause. Thank you. So who did you guys just elect other than someone that does a lot of thank yous? So I grew up in a small town that you might have passed on the way up here. It's called Drexel, North Carolina, if anybody knows where Drexel's at. It's a small place, about 1,700 folks that live there. Like I said, I introduced my family, but born and raised there, I grew up there. And you know, after high school, I went to NC State. So any Wolfpackers in the house? Yes. You know, it was like 7 of the best years of my life when I was there. It's not a joke. but we'll get to that. But I entered a very traditional pre-med path into NC State. I went into chemical engineering. So, yeah, I know. Thank you. Seriously. But yeah, I entered chemical engineering with the thought that I was going to go into pharmaceutics, that I was going to develop drugs. I was really wanting to help people by creating a new pharmaceutics to help them. But, you know, when I did that around my junior year, I did a co-op there. And I really kind of found that I really liked what I was doing, but I really was missing people. And I really kind of missed that aspect of it. So that really kind of drove me to go back to undergrad and really kind of think about my life. So I got back to undergrad, and I have a faculty advisor there. His name is Dr. Steve Peretti, if anyone happened to know him. He was not here tonight, but Steve Peretti, he was my faculty advisor. He was my advisor on my senior project. He led one of my senior classes, and we spent a lot of time together. And I asked Steve one night, I was like, gosh, you know, I'm really just not sure about my life now. I thought I was going to go to pharmaceutics. You know, I really love this experience, but I don't know. I really want to maybe do patients. I don't know. I was like, what do you think I should do with my life? And he said, you know, Garrett, he looked at me very sternly and said, you know, you should really go into business because you're so full of crap. So so I really wasn't sure what to do after that. So I graduated and went home, and thankfully mom always has an open door for me. So I kind of crashed at mom's place for a while. And I studied for the MCAT. I worked at a great hospital called Grace Hospital there in Morganton, North Carolina, if you know where that's at. I worked in the ER. All right. Burr County folks, I love it. Yeah, it's where I kind of cut my teeth in medicine in the ER there. I got pretty good at golf at the time because I was not doing anything but working and playing golf. But it was pretty obvious I needed some more education, so I went back to graduate school at NC State. So back to NC State I went. That's where that 7 years is coming from, by the way. So at NC State, I found myself again and studied Master's of Physiology, which where I learned a love of medical sciences. I also learned about the flying saucer, where I learned for a love of beer. So... Thank you. I did somehow make it through grad school, and I did actually make it to ECU, the Brody School of Medicine. So, any Brody folks? Yeah. You can always count on a Brody crowd. Thank you. Met some great people there, like Dr. Michael Harris, who is here tonight. Yep. He's been with me since the first day of med school. We studied together for 4 years. He's actually my family doctor. So, yeah, a lot of debt to him, and he suffered with me through many years. Met a lot of great teachers there. Dr. Dean Patton, who couldn't make it here tonight. You know, he was a great teacher, but he's also become a friend and mentor. And we actually still have breakfast at least once a month, even this day. Met a lot of great folks, but the biggest thing is I fell in love with family medicine. So it was a lot of good mentors. Like I said, I just can't name everybody tonight. But why I fell in love with family medicine is because we do it all. There was just nothing you guys didn't do. You know, the problem solving was just amazing. My personality really kind of fit in. It was really relevant too. There was never a situation I went into where family medicine just was not relevant. And there was this other thing called the ACA Act that was kind of happening at the time. And there was a lot of look into primary care and what we needed at the time. But the bigger thing was need. You know, at the time, I really thought about myself. I thought about that application to med school. And I said, what do people really need? And that's what they need. They need family medicine. They need primary care. That's what every hometown, thank you. That's what every city needs. That's what the state of North Carolina needs. And it's what the whole nation needs. And by the way, they still need it. So medical students, I'm looking at you. Looking for the next family medicine. After Brody, I ended up at Wake Forest Baptist. I did my residency there. All right. Thought there might be some Wake Forest folks in the house. That's where I learned how to be a family doctor. I learned from Dr. Richard Lord, who I think already left to actually do patient care. Man, never takes a night off. That's right. That's where I learned to love advocacy, too. Dr. Steve Poon, who is probably not here tonight, he drugged me into that to talk to legislators and to do a lot of things, advocate on a big level for family medicine. I learned to love the academy, where I guess I'm here tonight with the help of a lot of doctors in this room. But also I learned to love for sports medicine. So I got to be involved in high school sports, and that drugged me into one extra year of a sports medicine fellowship at Wake Forest. So they kept me around for one more year. I got to work with cool people like Chris Miles and Heath Thornton, and I guess they're still there. I guess I haven't kicked them out yet. Okay. But while I was there, you know, I got to work with those folks, and really very early on, I learned I really didn't know anything about anatomy. I didn't really know anything about musculoskeletal medicine, and I really learned that Dr. Thornton doesn't think my jokes are funny. So if you know Dr. Thornton, you think that you would know what I'm talking about. But at the very end, I did learn, you know, sports medicine. I learned how to be a team doctor. I learned my family thought I was famous. My dad would send me pictures from the TV. He would take them with his phone, and he would send them to me when he saw me on the field. So he still does that even to this day. He did that on Friday even. So they thought I was famous, but also I learned about an opportunity for a job. Dr. Chris Miles sent me an email, and Greg didn't let me have visuals, but if I had it, I would show you. It was only one line, and Dr. Miles said, "I think your prayers have been answered. Any desire to be a Wolfpack doctor?" So that's how this kind of journey into sports medicine kind of started a little bit. But the rest is history. I ended up at Raleigh Medical Group in Raleigh. This is where I still do family medicine. I do primary care sports medicine. I do clinical research. I teach. I'm learning how to be a businessman because it's an independent practice. And I got to work with NC State. So I am one of their team doctors. As one of their team doctors, I get asked a lot of what it's like to be a team doctor for a Division I school. And they usually like to hear a lot of lessons of that. Would you guys like to hear any of those tonight? That's a yes. Okay. So lessons learned from being a team doctor for NC State. Number one, my parents still think I'm famous. So this, I guess tonight doesn't help because I'm talking in front of a lot of people, but I still get texts even to this day. Number two, you know, it really doesn't matter if you went to med school at ECU. They will still boo you on the field if you're wearing NC State colors. So I've never been cursed so hard in my life. Number three, don't miss the plane. They won't wait for you. Number four, don't miss the bus. They will not wait for you. Number five, I know there's an injury that's really bad when people start texting me before I can even make it on the field. So, yeah. So there's many, many more lessons. But I tell folks that sports medicine is just a part of what I do. I'm a family doctor. You know, people love to ask me about that. And I tell them that I'm a family doctor, and I'm very proud of that. And Dr. Rosenbaum, if he's still at Wake Forest, shout outs to Wake Forest. He would always say, to be a good sports medicine doctor, you have to be a good family doctor first. And I firmly believe that for sure. And that's what I hope I am, that I'm a family doctor first. And why is that? Because family medicine is awesome. You know, you people are awesome. Your passion, your willingness to serve patients, to teach students, to help your communities, the great state of North Carolina, your nation, just all the sacrifices you guys make is just amazing. You really are the Swiss Army knife of medicine. You do it all. You take care of babies, you take care of kids, you take care of adults, geriatrics, even sports medicine. You do procedures. The list goes on and on and on and on. But you guys already knew that, didn't you? But maybe you didn't know, you guys are the missing link. You guys are the key to healthcare. You are the glue that holds this crazy system together. You have the expertise, you have the experience, you have the hearts, you have it all. You're often emulated, but you're definitely never duplicated. And you guys have been doing it for 75 years. 75 years of this academy, guys. You should clap for that. So I was kind of looking on the website, and I was really interested by the history of this great academy, and I found some interesting facts I thought I would share with you guys tonight. 1948, Dr. John Bender started the North Carolina Academy of General Practice. The first meeting was in Greensboro. The headquarters came thereafter in Winston-Salem, his office. 1960, it moved from Winston-Salem to North Carolina. Sorry, Wake Forest folks. However, in 1969, it made the transition from the North Carolina Academy of General Practitioners to the North Carolina Academy of Family Physicians, as we know it today. I also learned, and in 1953 and in 1958, the North Carolina Academy of General Practice, for their annual meeting, had a cruise. There was a cruise to Havana and to Nassau. So wherever Greg's at, I think he's way past time to have this meeting on a cruise ship. So that, I don't know if I can make that my mission as president, but I'm going to throw that in the ring somewhere. Greg's shaking his head. Okay. Over time, our membership increased, our budget increased, our influence increased. There was a lot of modernization that happened. We embraced technology changes. We honed education and training. We carefully scrutinized our values. So as I looked, you know, further in this website, I got to around 2000s or so, and I really started looking at the website. And, you know, something else kind of struck me when I was looking at this. It was more the people on the website, more than the accomplishments at that point. I started looking at people, and I said, gosh, I know those people. And I was fortunate enough to have lunch with some of them today. So, you know, these were leaders I really respected, and I knew them. And I knew about their accomplishments and things that were on their heart and their minds and their souls. It just really struck me about that. And really thought about all the things they accomplished for their patients and what they accomplished in this great state. But interestingly, after that, after 2022, there really wasn't anything written. But interestingly, there were placeholders. There was these other little tick marks that was on the website. And I really couldn't help but think about that. You know, these unwritten chapters of this academy's next history. What is next? And now I challenge you guys to think about that. What are these unwritten chapters going to talk about? As I really kind of dreamed about this and I really thought about this, I thought, you know, it's really going to talk something about prior authorizations. I bet we're going to fix that one at some point. I think it's going to talk about electronic medical records. You know, you guys, you know, have better things to do than type all day long. I think we're going to think about technology. How do we incorporate AI and new technologies are going to happen? The next leaders are going to solve that one too. How do we get you guys paid for all the hard work you're already doing? How do we get you fair compensation for what you're doing? Also, workforce, all the things that are happening right now. There's a lot of medical students here. How do we talk you guys into doing what you already want to do, get your medical school debt paid for? And that's a plug for the foundation, too. So more on that afterwards. I would say if you guys really want to do that, think about giving tonight. So shameless plug. But also this workforce issue, there's a backdoor problem. There's folks leaving. You know, how do we keep people in the jobs? How do we keep them from leaving to administrative jobs or to other fields? I think the next chapters will address that. You know, when I wrote this speech, I didn't know Medicaid was going to go live, but we've had one whole day of Medicaid expansion. So we're already answering that one. And that's awesome. But I would challenge you guys, that's just step one. There's more to be had out of this story. You know, 300,000 people got onto Medicaid as of, I think, yesterday, today. There's another 300,000 people coming. There's more people need access. But not just access just to care. It's still a broken system. There's still a lot of work to do. They need access to excellent care. Excellent care where they can have their needs taken care of and taken care of by family doctors. So when I think about that, I also think about the people who's going to do that, and that's you guys. I think who's going to deliver that care, but also who's going to be the next leader standing on this stage. I only get to do this for 1 year. We're going to need more leaders who lead in the clinics, in the communities, but also on the stage. So I would challenge you guys to think about that. But I'm fully confident that y'all will write these chapters, and this will be the next history of this academy. And I'm honored and excited to be the next president on that journey with you guys. So, you know, one last thing before I quit. I think Greg's coming to give me the look. You know, I couldn't help but kind of, you know, think about everything as I was walking around the Grove Park. This time of the year really kind of gets me. I was walking around the Grove Park Inn, and, you know, it really reminded me of something, and something very important. You know, this is the season of Advent. You know, this is the season of perpetual hope. So I wanted to remind everyone that you represent hope. You represent hope to your patients. You represent hope to your colleagues, to students, to your office staff, to your city, the great state of North Carolina, to your nation. I would encourage you to find that source of hope. You know, if you have a chance while you're here, really reflect on that, especially while you're here in beautiful Asheville. Think about that hope. I would encourage you to hold strong to that hope. Let it refresh you, sustain you, especially during these times. When I thought about that, I couldn't help but think about a verse from Isaiah 40, 30, 31. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, folks, in these next unwritten chapters of medicine, family medicine represents a beacon of light and hope for our healthcare system. I urge you to keep up the fight. Keep being that beacon of hope for each other, for your patients, for your community, and the great state of North Carolina. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this month's edition of NCAFM Today. I'm today's host, Kevin Latour, here to say with the rest of the NCAFP, congratulations to our new president, Dr. Garrett Franklin. You can find NCAFM Today on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to your favorite shows. If you like hearing from our members, make sure to like and subscribe. You can also find NCAFM Today at www.ncafp.com. along with the membership, education, advocacy, and workforce resources that serve family medicine in the Old North State. Until next time, this is the North Carolina Academy of Family Physicians.